also welcome the care ministers. Welcome, Chief. We are taking a report on the smart ID card this morning. So officials from CETA, welcome to your delegation. We are in your able hands.
Thank you, Chairman, and honorable members, honorable chairman of the standing committee. Good morning. I am pleased to come and present to you the question that has been asked about the delays caused in the awarding of the smart card tender. I'd like to introduce my delegation, starting with the acting CEO next to me, Ramabele Mahoma Tinte, accompanied by the board members on that other side, Nontombe Konzinde, Kuki Mzulwa, and we've got Moses Mtimunye, who's the executive strategy, who's going to help us with the presentation. Also, there is Nogolide Nojozi and Tanya Abrams, who are from government relations. Honorable Chairperson, if you can allow me to hand over to the acting CEO to do the presentation.
Thank you. Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee, the Chairperson of the Standing Committee, honorable members, we've prepared the presentation which was forwarded prior. I just want to bring to your attention that we made two grammatical changes, just the grammatical errors that were there. I'll highlight them as I present to the slide to say just changing what to where and nothing major on the previous presentation that was sent. Allow me to take you through the introduction part of the presentation. What we are going to cover is just the introduction, the background, the role of Department of Home Affairs, the role of CETA, and the role of Auditor General in the process, challenges and delays, and we will talk a bit on the forensic report. In our introduction, the Smart ID Card is a project of Department of Home Affairs, which was aimed at the introduction of the National Smart ID Card for the public of South Africa. Department of Home Affairs is responsible for the processing of identity documents to all South African citizens from the age of 16 years and older, and to persons to whom permanent residence has been granted, including refugees. The tender was aimed at assisting Department of Home Affairs with the selection of a supplier that will provide Department of Home Affairs with a turnkey solution for the production of identity cards with contact integrated circuit chip, which we called it the Smart ID Card. The tender process was facilitated by CETA on behalf of the department. The next slide on the introduction, which continues as follows. In brief, the tender was for the supply and maintenance of smart cards, raw materials, card personalization, and card production facility. The implementation of the Smart ID Card is aimed at replacing the current green ID book, which is currently manually produced, causing delays in the process, thereby reducing manual interventions in the processing of applications of IDs. Department of Home Affairs requested CETA to publish a tender for the Smart ID on behalf on the 12th of May 2008. That was when we received the official request. The tender process was administered by CETA as prescribed and agreed upon. Let me take you through the background of the project. The Smart ID Card project was approved by Cabinet on July 2001. The Department of Home Affairs received an approval from Cabinet to start the procurement process for smart cards on March 2005. Cabinet requested the Department of Home Affairs to resubmit a proposal on the future of the smart ID card, taking into account the risk factors in May 2005. I've mentioned earlier on a grammatical error in the change that I've made in the next sentence. It reads as follows. IT projects, including the smart ID projects, were put, whereas in the previous it was put, were put on hold by the Department of Home Affairs, pending the outcome of the Department of Home Affairs support intervention which they undertook in June 2005. The department communicated to Cabinet that a smart ID card pilot project would be rolled out in April 2008. And the continuation of the background, we've already mentioned that CETA received a formal request on the 12th of May 2008 to procure on behalf of the department. The bid closed on the 27th of June 2008 at 11 o'clock. Technical evaluation commenced on 10 July 2008 and was completed on 30th of July 2008, and the technical evaluation report was signed by the members on 6 August 2008, which is a requirement. The price evaluation by bid evaluation committee members commenced on the 1st of August 2008 and was concluded on the 15th of August 2008. The BAE evaluation was done and concluded on the 13th of August 2008, and the final report was signed on the very same day. Now allow me to take you through the roles of different role players in the project. Let me first start with the Home Affairs, the role of Home Affairs. The Department of Home Affairs submitted a request to CETA to procure, as mentioned earlier on the 12th of May. They also have to approve the bid document, which they did that on the 21st of May 2008. During the process, a request came through for the extension of the closing date, which was granted for the 28th of May. Home Affairs also approved the allocation of preference points for specific participation goals on the 13th of June 2008. The department participated in the bid evaluation process as members of the bid evaluation committee, which is also the major requirement saying major members of the bid evaluation committee have to be coming from the department. The next slide is the role of CETA and the Auditor General. The procurement process which CETA adopted was premised upon the prescripts of the regulation as follows, which is now prescribing the role of CETA as the prescript: preparation and soliciting of bids on behalf of the department, facilitation of the evaluation of the bids was done by CETA as well, evaluation of the bids was done by the bid evaluation committee, with CETA, some of CETA members forms part of that committee. Adjudication of the bids by the CETA Recommendation Committee, which is the committee that finally has to look at the recommendation and recommend to the DG of the department. CETA also recommends according to the prescript to the accounting officer of the department. Let me touch briefly on the role of the Auditor General. At the beginning of the process, Auditor General was brought into play to perform the standard procedure which was agreed upon in terms of the process from the beginning up to an end. And therefore, their role in the process was to perform that agreed upon audit procedure throughout the project. Now let's get to the challenges and delays relating to the project. An anonymous letter was received on the 9th of September 2008 by CETA making allegations about serious flaws with regard to the evaluation of the CETA tender, which is the RFB 643. Pursuant to the anonymous letter, CETA on 10 September 2008 halted the tender process with a view to finalize the Auditor General's report on compliance with agreed upon procedure, which was the first step to check as to whether there is some areas that need to be attended to. AG finalized the draft report on the 25th of September 2008. The challenges continued. Between September and December 2008, I've also mentioned the second grammatical error, which is on the first sentence. The first one read as CETA attended to issues raised by the AG. What we've changed there is now CETA was attending to issues raised by the AG. On 9th December, in the board meeting, CETA reaffirmed its decision to hold the process until finalization of the AG queries and advised Department of Home Affairs on the decision to investigate. During December 2008, CETA decided to commence a forensic investigation. Forensic audit from that December, with the preparation and the process to follow, commenced in February 2009. In April 2009, forensic audit report raised concern on the process followed. A recommendation from CETA to the DG of Home Affairs in April 2009 was made in order to cancel the tender. The Department of Home Affairs responded to CETA on the cancellation of the tender on the 19th of August 2009. Let me talk a bit on the forensic report. In December 2009, a draft forensic report was submitted to the Department of Home Affairs for comments. The Department of Home Affairs committed to submit their response to the questions raised by forensic audit by the 16th April 2010, which is the previous Friday. The report will be finalized by the end of June, and maybe let me talk more on why the report will be finalized on the end of June. Upon receiving the response from Home Affairs, it will be handed over to the auditors to actually verify, test all the information that is responded to, and from there it has to go through the normal processes of the internal audit and risk committee of board to board, which finally has to be submitted to the minister. And again, the last sentence there talks of the report will only be made available until such time that the report has been finalized and concluded officially and is handed to the ministry. I thank you at that point.
Thank you. I'm not sure if the former Director General of Home Affairs would like to comment at this stage.
Thank you, Chair and honourable members. No, I will respond to questions. I have no comment at this stage. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Nsima. We thank you for your presentation, and obviously the reason that you are here is that Parliament has expressed a concern that the matter in regard to the smart identity card has dragged for quite a long period. And it is the responsibility of Parliamentary Portfolio Committees, Appropriations, Standing Committee on Appropriations, to oversee this process that there is finality. As you say that a final report should be ready by the end of June. I can assure you that we'll hold you to that. As soon as that report is out, we'll obviously communicate with the relevant departments. And as soon as they've signed off on those reports, Parliament is owed a report thereon. To that process, we'll hold relevant departments responsible without fear or favor. So I can assure you, what I'll do now is to avail the opportunity to members of Parliament to pose questions or make comments. I'll start with you, sir. Mr. Swart.
Thank you, Chair. I agree that if there's something flawed about the tender process and the Audit General has to investigate, that it's better to hold back at this stage. But, you know, from the appropriation side, we sit with a situation that as soon as money goes into the budget, the Minister of Finance is, he's got no choice. He's got to make provision in the budget by way of income to cover those expenses. Now, I've been in Parliament since 2004, and my first portfolio committee was Home Affairs. And at that stage, the smart card had already spent 1 billion rand. Now, this has been going on ever since then, and every year we put money in the budget for the smart card, but nothing happened. And it's time, I think, the Appropriations Committee should now consider taking that money away, because there is no purpose in putting the money in the budget, and it's not being used. I'm really concerned about the fact that this money has been on the budget since 2000, and nothing has happened to produce the smart card. In fact, we had a presentation where the previous president, Mbeki, was present, and all the new paraphernalia was there, and they issued the first smart card, and since then, no other smart cards have ever been issued. So, are we certain that the smart card situation is now resolved and that it will be available at the end of the year, as you've asked, Chair?
At the end of the report at the end of June, and obviously as soon thereafter, we need to see the smart card. Honourable Member.
Ngosi, I'm happy that finally we're dealing with this particular project. It is very much interesting how the whole chronology of events and obviously what took place in the presentation. However, there are some concerns. One, regarding the letter that is referred to, which to some extent no one is talking about the details of that letter as to what it contained, where are the flaws, who is responsible, and obviously the manner in which the Auditor General highlighted in trying to correct those. I hear that there is a process and the report will be ready end of June, but I think some of these should somehow be available to us as members as we move on. And where did the actual problem originate? Now you do get the feeling that because it has been given a responsibility to manage the tender. But CETA itself is the one that begins to institute the process of investigation. But the problem somehow seems to be somewhere there, which I cannot easily point out as to where exactly the problem is seated. That is also important in the report. Now, I would like to know, obviously, that because we're very much general about the fraud, what is your view as the CEO in terms of the whole arrangement of the tender from now moving forward? What do you think is the best way to manage it so that we avoid this from happening in future? And I'm sure, Chairperson, that if my question is clear enough, and I try to make it very simple, that at some stage we'll be able to sit and say the people of this country have been afforded an opportunity to have IDs that will be no more a burden to their lives. And this smart ID card, I do hope that it is something that we're waiting to see. In 2009, which is last year, I went to Botswana, and it was a very interesting thing to view,
to witness how they manage the issues of national the issues of home affairs. They have a smart ID, which is something that I was looking forward to having in this country. Because you run with that thing in your wallet, like a driver's license, which is very simple. In this country, the reason why the civic services, for instance, have so many problems, it's through this manual production of the ID, which the electronic way will do us much justice than her. So I hope that this question will be responded.
Thank you, members. Mema Unye.
Thank you, Chairperson. My question is with regard to, you know, this thing has been going on for so many years. I've even forgotten some of the concerns that were raised by the committee regarding this project. The initial amount that was allocated, if I remember well, was about 1.4 or 1.5 billion. Of that amount, can we be told as to how much was used? What is the remaining amount? Or if there is any, there are any funds remaining? And in one of your slides, you are saying, and it's not numbered, that forensic audit report raised concerns on the process followed. Can you unbundle as to what you mean by the concerns that were raised regarding the tender process? Because we do know that there was a problem with the way the tender was awarded and followed. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Comrade Mabunye. Ma'am?
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm looking at the introduction, I think it's the second page. It says, in brief, the tender was for the supply and maintenance of, and many, many things are mentioned, that mass cut, raw material, cut personalization, and cut production. Was all this meant for one tender? Or maybe because I don't understand whether it talks about hardware, software, infrastructure, what. Well, all this meant for one bundle. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mayor Mashego. May I suggest that, okay, let's take you, and then after that, I would like us to take a pause for a rejoinder from the department.
Thanks, Chairperson. I just wanted to find out from you, if you have, after receiving an anonymous letter, did you make any follow-up to find out as to where the letter came from? And is it possible for you to share the serious flaws that were indicated in the letter? Thanks.
Thank you very much, Honorable Comrade Khasibonwe. May I suggest that we break at this point for a rejoinder from the department. Good folks, you are in your hands. You can respond to the comments, questions.
Thank you, Chair. I think the questions will be between us and Home Affairs. The appropriation raised by the Honourable Member is more on the Home Affairs side in terms of the budget and also the question on the amount allocated, the 1.4 billion, that would be on Home Affairs. We only participated from 2008 as CETA when we were asked to get into the process of the tender. The CEO will help me because the details, but I will actually mention some of the issues. Let me start with the issue of the anonymous letter. The letter, as I said earlier, the CEO said earlier, that the allegations that were made are being investigated, because an allegation is an allegation until it is investigated and proven. Some of the issues that were raised there were about the evaluation process, which involves not only CETA people, as it was mentioned earlier, it's Home Affairs people, it's other people from NIA. The BID evaluation committee is made up of people from various departments, and hence it makes allegations about certain things that happened there. So the full report will actually bring all those details, but it was just saying that the process has not been followed properly. And it was mentioned, one of the things that I can recall is that in the beginning, the evaluation committee was made up of 10 people, but in the end, the people that evaluated, there were 4 people. And there were allegations that some people did not resign, although it's alleged that they resigned. So this is the investigation that is being done to determine whether some of these things that were alleged there are true. I must also tell the committee that one of the reasons we picked up this problem is that at CETA we came to a point where we decided that the Auditor General will do these agreed upon procedures to pick up anything that was untoward. And Auditor General works with us from the beginning to the end, and they make sure that all the regulations are met. I think the CEO will talk more about what are we doing in the future in terms of improving systems and making sure that the systems are transparent, so that it prevents some of the things that are going to come in the final report. And what I will also talk about is I've raised the issue of the anonymous letter, that it will be attended to. The other question was whether all the 4 items were for one tender. Yes, it was for one tender. They were all in one tender. I think, CEO, if I've left anything. But what I'm trying to say is that the reason why we are sitting here is because we have been diligent in making sure that the process is not compromised. One of the statements that CETA does to an accounting officer after the finalization of any audit process is to confirm that the integrity of the process has been maintained. And in this one, as early as April, we informed the Department of Home Affairs that this process, the integrity of it has been compromised, therefore cancel the tender, because we cannot guarantee that process, because even at the draft level, we are sure that certain things were not done properly, but the investigation is still coming. But I assure you, Chairperson, that by June we'll make sure that the investigation, the report is finalized and it has gone through the process. I don't know if I've left anything, but I will allow the Home Affairs to respond to the answer.
Thanks, Chairperson. Let me add to the response that you have given. I want to add more to the flaws and the issue that the tender was awarded. I need to bring it to the attention of the committee that the tender was never awarded, hence it was cancelled, and we never gone forward with that. But I think the chairperson has already mentioned that the Home Affairs will respond to the financial implications around it. But on the other hand, internally as an organization, we are looking at improving the systems that we use that going forward will minimize a lot of human element into the whole process. In a situation where you need to know, or if allegations are there, really within a short space, you'll be able to tell where the problem is and rectify it immediately. That is actually part of the implementation of the ERP system that we are implementing within the organization, which will manage the tender process from the publication up to the point of recommendation. And I think to this far, we believe that implemented properly and in place, that will alleviate a lot of this problem. I'll now hand over to Home Affairs for the financial implication questions.
Chair and the members, with regard to the budget, I want to say what we have done. You first go to Treasury and request. Then on the request, you based it on your calculations in terms of a business case. So the 1.4 billion which we're talking about was not the money which was allocated, it's the money which was requested. Then, based on that, Treasury allocated in the 2008-09 budget an amount of about 104 million, which was to pilot a smart card. So it's the amount which has not been spent, but I will talk about when we deal with the presentation on the budget, how we have dealt with that matter. Then for 2010-11, there is no money which has been allocated for the smart card. You will recall that the minister, when was presenting her budget speech, she indicated that the 10-11 is going to be the year where we're making sure that other systems which must link to the smart card are ready for that. And when we submit our budget for 10-11, we will be submitting now a new request for the smart card. So there is no budget for smart card in the budget of this current year. It was in the previous year, which is 9-10, and then I will talk about in terms of we didn't spend that money, so they've been reporting to the SCOA committee, and then I have made a proposal to Treasury, which we have utilized it in the 2009-10. So, Chair, that's what around the issues of the budget.
Thank you very much. Obviously, we've got the current and the former Director General, so former Affairs. So you will decide who wants to comment on what, gentlemen.
Thank you, Chair. It seems there's an expectation that I make a comment too. There is this chronology of requests for the smart card project to start and the delays. Unfortunately, it's been so long that there are so many DGs along the way who've come and gone. But to go back to what was said a little earlier about 2006, when there were serious problems in the Department of Home Affairs, the minister then requested other government departments, specifically National Treasury, DPSA, and the Public Service Commission, who joined Home Affairs to investigate the problems in the department, which were resulting, among other things, in disclaimers and the chaos and the disorganization attendant to the department at the time. When that happened, a decision was taken that tenders should be, there should be no procurement. And procurement at Home Affairs is mainly, major procurement is for IT equipment. So around the time when the support intervention team, this group of started, there was a ban, I don't know, a moratorium on procurement, and this project fell foul of that moratorium, and the suspension of procurement was to last until the support intervention team had finished its task, which it did around March 2007, and until a new DG had been appointed, and that happened in May 2007. Only then was procurement reopened. In the budget for that particular year, there was 110 million rand or so, which was allocated to pilot to start investigating the, I think it was to initiate the procurement process and take it to the stage of piloting once a service provider had been appointed. The exercise was then aborted as a result of the things that were explained by the CEO at CETA, namely, and the chairperson says the process became contaminated. We were indeed advised to cancel the tender. We were a little circumspect around that because we were in the same letter informed that the forensic audit had not been finished. And one wasn't quite sure whether you cancel a tender and the forensic finds nothing wrong or finds something wrong. And we adopted a rather cautious approach around that matter. But eventually it became quite clear that we were well past the financial year. We wouldn't be able to utilize the funds that had been set aside. And we did, taking that into account in other factors in the environment, cancel the tender. That's where the matter lay, and the DG, Mr. Plain, has indicated what the situation is now. If the tender exercise had been completed, there would have been a pilot by December 2008. In the following year, by agreement with Treasury, we would have been able to then ask for funds to implement, to roll out the rest of the program in stages. It was always anticipated that this would be a 5-year program or so, given the size of the population and the complexity of the issues. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mshima. Members. Any further comments or questions?
Thank you.
Dr. Ramatakan, let me start with Dr. Ramatakan. He has not yet spoken, and then I'll avail you the opportunity, Comrade Mashego.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. I have just 3 small questions. The first question is to do with the letter, the anonymous letter that sparked off all this investigation. I know that nobody has been privy to the detail of it because it's an allegation letter that has sparked off the investigation. But the question I want to ask in relation to the letter, Chair, is, and you may choose to answer or not to answer this, I just want to get a clarity whether the letter itself did make the claim that almost suggested that the committee as it stands, the one that was doing the evaluation, was in a way also advised by the tenderer or the tenderer to be on the specs itself. That's the first question. So what I'm asking, Chair, is because I think the heart of the question of this debate is, what was the central allegation on the anonymous letter that sparked off this investigation? Did the letter, therefore, make suggestion or insinuation to the effect that one of the tenderer to be on the smart card itself was also advising the committee on the site on the tender specs itself? I'm asking that question. The second question I want to ask is on the slide number 9, it's not numbered, but I just numbered mine, is the process between September and December 2008. In April, further down to the bullet, April 2009, a forensic report raise various problems in the process that was flawed. The forensic audit report raised those questions, the concerns, which of course sparked off the recommendation to cancel, asking the department not to cancel the by CETA. And that is, of course, cancelled in August 19. So the question I'm asking, Chair, is that in your position, when you did the cancellation, and I know that the former Director General says that they were a bit cautious in addressing this particular matter. In this slide, do you have two reports? Do you have a report of April in 2009, initial report that indicated these problems that ended up with the cancellation, suggestion to cancellation? The last report is on the slide number 10. It's a slide that deals with the forensic report, draft forensic report. I noticed, Chair, that the report has already been submitted in December 2009, forensic report, a draft, or call it draft forensic report, which one may suggest that there won't be any material change on the forensic draft report as it stands. Now, I want to ask the department. It's been 3 months since the report was submitted for the December to say, now it's April, it's going into the fourth month. What has been so difficult in the process that the department was a semi-manager of the smart card? What has been so difficult to provide a comment on so-called quite a hot potato report such as this one? What is this difficult? I just want to hear the department's comment on the difficulty in commenting on the simple process that they were semi-managing it were in the process. Thanks, Chair.
Ntate Ramatlakane, thanks for your comments. I would like us to remember one thing, good folks. What we have in front of us is a chronological list of events. We as Parliament, we don't have a report in front of us. This is what makes our engagement with this process so difficult. You are dealing with something that's ephemeral. Until we have that report, it's only when we'll be able to meaningfully engage with this process. Then we have a report in front of us that both parties have. At this stage, one party is privileged. You know the road you have traversed thus far. We don't. We take it on good faith. These are the events that happened. We are not privy to this draft forensic report. Only after that report has been finalized, departments, CETA has had a look at that report, would we be able to intelligibly engage with that report as Parliament? So until then, unfortunately, we are going to be in this invidious position where it's like dealing with witchcraft or some thesis in the Middle Ages, how many angels can dance on the tip of a needle. We're in that situation. So until we have that report, it's only then that we'd be able to engage in this thing meaningfully. Mamushikh.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm still having a concern with this smart card issue and the tender, because part of what is needed before such tenders, and as we know that there's been a problem, it might be out of the question, but it forms the basis
the problem of physical infrastructure, social infrastructure, where we know that the department has a lot of problems in having proper infrastructure. Were such issues taken into consideration when applying for this tender? Because I think if part of the tender had nothing to do with the infrastructure, or the infrastructure in place for them to go for such a big tender, or was it part of the delays in that tender? I don't know whether I'm out of tune, because in the back of my mind is the way they had chronological staff shortage, and suddenly there's a tender which doesn't move. Were they ready to have such a tender, or were they still supposed to have proper infrastructure for them to get into such a step for things to run smoothly, instead of asking for money when they do not have the proper infrastructure to use it?
I've noted you, Chair. I would like to advise members, let us not prejudge a process. You don't have a report in front of you. I don't have a report in front of you. None of you have shown me that you are privy to any report. So let us not enter the realm of speculation. You compromise yourself. Let's wait for that report and be able to engage on the basis of something that we have in front of us. I wouldn't like us to go down that road of surmising, perhaps, maybe, nevertheless, also, but no. I want us to have that report so that we can engage with something. I'm now going to give an opportunity to my co-chairperson, and then I would like us to round up this thing. I'll check one or two of you. If you go down that road of speculation or what is, I'm going to cut you short. Must be aware of that. I'm not going to spend time here listening to hopes and wishes. We need to have a report in front of us. Okay.
thank you, sir. Now, thank you, Chairperson Sanmuna. I would really like to appeal, Chair, to members. I think the report before us says the report is not ready. And you're saying that we should not speculate, you know. Now, we're going to bring all other things that we hear outside, bring to this meeting, and that's speculating. Really, maybe my appeal is that to honorable members, let us now, at this stage, stop. The chairperson at the beginning says that, in fact, the report says the report will be with us by June, by end of June. It's not a long time to wait. And maybe the best thing is just to wait for the right report. Maybe the questions we can ask after June, why is the report not ready by that time? That's all we need to ask. But for now, in terms of the processes and whatnot, let's allow it and just ensure that the time that was given, I mean, the time that are given are adhered to. We really appeal to members. We thought that members would also, we know that members are interested. Some members said since 2004 they've been engaged with this. But until we find a report that we can really be able to speak to or punch holes or what, let us hold a little bit for this. And I think that we are assured that the report this year will come to the portfolio committee. So let's give the department and CETA that time. The chairperson says we're taking all what they are telling us in good faith, and we're hoping that things will, what we call, will happen as and when they are told. Because now we can continue asking whatever question. We're not going to get the report because it's not there. It's not there. So let's just wait, comrades, members, for that time when the report is presented to the portfolio committee. Thank you, Chairperson, and it looks like now everyone is nodding that we can move. Thank you, Chairperson. I think the honorable members, obviously, we are aware that as a committee, we have to deal with what is before us, and I fully respect that. It's just that, you know, at times you feel that, in fact, I think that there's something big awaiting us.
No, Matizoli. No, you are not helping me, Chief. You are going down that route of speculation, something big enough.
And
let us wait for a report. If you don't have anything further to say on this matter, honorable member, I would like to close this meeting until we have a report. We have aired our views. I've given the opportunity. You have articulated all your concerns. We are equally concerned. I would like anybody who raises his hand to take us forward. Not to re-emphasize what you have already emphasized.
I'm going that route.
3 seconds.
And I think we have a role to play. That's why we're this committee. We have to play oversight. And now I don't think it's helping to try and circumscribe one not to raise issues. But when members are raising issues as honorable members, which we are all honorable members, and we respect that process. Now, I will not come to a meeting where we are told what to raise and what not to raise. Now, I am saying that there are some issues which are very much serious and members are concerned, so it must be noted. Also, the time that in June it will come, and
you
we are
say that there are issues that you'd like to raise that must be noted. Could you assist us with those issues?
Yeah, my question which I raised, and I'm still waiting for answers, they are not forthcoming. What is in the letter that they are not revealing to us? What is in that letter? Because they've got the letter, is there with them. What is it saying, Chairperson? Honorable Chair, this is the situation, this is what the letter is saying. They should tell you and the committee, but they are not telling us. And all the members are equally concerned, Chair. And I'm sure the officials would not have flew down to Cape Town just to tell us about the chronology of events. That's why I even asked the CEO specifically, because she was doing the presentation, as to what is it that you would like to tell us with regard to specific flaws on that letter. Now, the last question, Chair. I saw that in this report, as part of the circular that we just received, there's something on Who Am I Online project. Now, the specific project also is going through many, many problems. And I'm happy that the former DG is present here, Mr. Mabuso Msima, and the current DG, Mr. Plenty, which is very important for us to raise specific questions also with regard to problems on the Who Am I Online project. And I must say, as a member of this portfolio committee,
Member.
I want to be very much subjective
Honourable
to
member.
The fact that
Honourable member.
We have to raise some of these issues to correct the status quo.
I would just like to remind you that the agenda for today's meeting is the smart card. The Who Am I Online will get adequate time to address that issue. In regard to today's issues, if there are issues that have not been answered, the presenters are here. We can ask them to do so. Member Winye, you wanted to raise something, honorable member.
Chair, I was saying thank you. No, I support what you're saying, that we maybe need to flag this until the report has been finalized in June. But my worry is the last bulletin, that the report cannot be made available until such time that the report has been finalized. Does it mean we must still wait even after June for the report to be finalized?
Mema Wunye, I think you are unduly concerned. The Portfolio Committee has got its functions and powers. Your responsibility is oversight over departments. So we respect internal processes until they get the report, but eventually a report or reports have to be tabled in front of this house. That's when we will deal with that. It can't be an indefinite situation. Ntate Ramatlakane.
Chair, thanks. I will certainly respect your process, but I thought that I ask a non-controversial question. I asked the question about whether is a two report that we're talking about. The report, the first report that recommended cancellation, and the report, the draft report that is awaiting comments. I've asked that question and I asked, what is so difficult for comments since the report was submitted in December 2009? And I thought it was a non-controversial question that I needed the department just to comment on. And I will leave the first one, Chair, because I guess your ruling deal with that particular question, the anonymous letter question, until we get the report. However, just to say that the two questions, I'm sure I deserve some comment from the department on.
Thank you, Ntatera Machakane. Like a seasoned politician, you say something is non-controversial when you are soliciting an answer that you. Good folks, if you can assist me, kindly respond to the questions that members have tabled so that we can get beyond this stage. Dr. Rabi?
I think you said something which is very important, that you hold the officials accountable to when the report is, and they mentioned the date, it's the first of, or the end of June. Now, Chair, I know that World Cup is on them, but I think this report is of fundamental importance to Parliament and to the country as a whole. So I think we should meet as soon as possible once this report is published, even if it's during the soccer World Cup final. Because I think we must, this is, a, I mean, it took 10 years for this report. It covers 10 years or more, which is a long time, Chair. So it's just my input from my side, which I think is important. We should take this into cognizance. Thank you, Chair.
Dr. Rabi, thank you very much. I'm sure that the Director General, the officials from CITA have heard you. And we will continue engaging with the relevant department beyond this meeting so as to ensure that as soon as they've looked at the report, that they should be able to come back to us at the earliest opportunity rather than at the latest opportunity. So I believe that we are all honorable, yes, members, including officials and their principals. Until something can be proved to the contrary, I believe that we are all honorable. Good folks, could you kindly provide the necessary answers, comments to the questions posed by members? Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman. I think the one question that I'll respond on before the Home Affairs is the one about the draft report in April. That was the first draft report of the forensic audit because they started in February. So at that time, even before they went down the line, they were sure that the process has been contaminated. So it's usually a first draft report is not even circulated. It's the very, very first draft. And then the question about the response from Home Affairs.
As the Chair said, this report is still got to come. that was now, I don't want to get into the fact that maybe other people were involved, were no longer in the department and all those kind of things, but the department had to apply its mind in order to be able to respond properly in the report. But when it comes, those issues will be dealt with. Letter is the one which was saying, it's the speaker, but I'm not sure whether there was a...
Good folks, you must assist us. If there's something that you want to say or not say about the anonymous letter, your voice is fading there. It reminds me when I was listening to Radio Freedom in the past. Just when there's the juicy part, then there's interference, the airwaves. So it's either we can say that this anonymous letter contained X, Y, or Z, it triggered this thing, or we can't say anything about it. But let us be clear.
Thank you, Chair. As I mentioned earlier, I made one example of what was in his letter about the Bid Evaluation Committee members, that there were 10 and there were 9, and there were other irregularities that they've mentioned. But, Chair, I'm taking your cue that the report is going to come into detail everything, and these are allegations, and hence we're waiting for responses from various individuals, because it is an allegation. Thank you, Chair.
I see the Honorable Masizole smiling and shaking his head. So, good folks, it would seem that this is how far down this road we can traverse today. Is that correct, Chair? I would like to thank all the relevant stakeholders, everybody who has come. We thank you for your time. Obviously, the matter is not finalized. We are hoping to finalize this matter. So, this brings us to the end of this meeting. Why would you want me to sit here? The meeting has come to an end. For this session, you continue after this. Yes. No, I'm leaving you. good folks, thank you very much. Meeting is adjourned.